ca.
Connecting you and your community. This is the Sam LaPrade Show on City News.
101.1 FM and 1310 AM.
Welcome to the Sam LaPrade Show. Good morning, Ottawa. Good morning. We made it. It's Friday, as my good friend Rob Snow would say. We made it. It's Friday. Welcome to the Sam LaPrade Show. If it's not obvious already, Sam is off. Sam is off for a couple of weeks, so I'm in this week. I'll be back in again next week as well. And usually I start off the show with perhaps a bit of a rant or telling you what's making news. But we start off today's show with Mayor Mark Sutcliffe. Good morning, Mayor. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Derek. Good morning to all your listeners. I'm very well, thank you. And obviously I'm very concerned about and heartbroken over the death of a pedestrian in Ottawa, and my heart goes out to the family, and it's a very tragic story, but thank you for the opportunity to chat this morning.
No, our pleasure having you on, Mayor Sutcliffe, and I share those same sentiments. It's heartbreaking, a young woman's life lost, and of course that investigation continues, and we're following that here at City News, and we'll update our listeners and our viewers on Rogers TV as we get word about that. Let's start off talking about the fact you've been in New York City the better part of this week at the Bloomberg School for Mayors. Tell us about that experience and what you've been up to there.
So this is a program that was launched by Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York City, and he partnered with Harvard University to create a program for mayors to meet each other and learn from each other and learn from the experts at Harvard on municipal issues. And so I was invited to join this program. It costs absolutely nothing to taxpayers. The program is by invitation only, and the costs are covered. So there's zero cost to taxpayers for this trip and for the learning experience. And it's a year-long program where there are Zoom calls and opportunities to connect with other mayors, but it started with a few days here in New York City to get it going in person so that we could connect with each other and build relationships. The timing of it was planned to be during the quiet summer months, and of course, as you know, last week we had our last city council meeting before August, so I thought it was a good time to be able to get away. Unfortunately, I had no way of knowing that there would be a shutdown of the LRT service while I was gone, but I've been working the entire time I've been gone and in constant contact with city staff, with my office, with city councilors. I've done a bunch of media interviews. So I've been working the whole time that I've been here, even though the conference has been going on.
Well, let's talk about our LRT, Mayor Sutcliffe. Obviously disappointing, the fact that they, had to shut it down at 5 p.m. during rush hour, had a lot of people scratching their head. Do you think they made the right decision?
I think it was the right decision. We have to act with an abundance of caution. We have to constantly be thinking about the safety of our passengers. And if there's any risk at all, if there are any faults in the system that are detected, we have to be incredibly cautious. So the last thing we want is another derailment or any other event like that. So I think it was the right decision, and everyone supported it. And now we have to figure out what the cause of this issue was and what the implications are, how soon we can get the service back up and running, and how we fix these long-term issues. Like everyone else, I'm incredibly, incredibly frustrated with what's been going on. We are not getting the service that we paid for. The first phase of light rail cost taxpayers $2.1 billion, and we're not getting what we paid for. And we are going to continue to work on this and demand answers from the contractors and improvements to the system and fixes for the problems until we have the system that we paid for.
Mayor Sutcliffe, does this not sound like the same issue that we had 2 years ago?
It's hard to tell at this point.
Okay.
So I'll let the engineers, you know, there are similarities, obviously, and but I don't want to be an amateur engineer in this process and rely on small pieces of data to draw broad conclusions. They'll do their work, and we have great people at OC Transpo who are working very, very hard. And this is incredibly frustrating to them as well. They work hard to provide great service to the people of Ottawa every day. And these kinds of setbacks are incredibly difficult for them. They're demoralizing, but they work so hard to identify the problems and work with the contractors. And by the way, we're following all of the recommendations from the inquiry that came out last fall. So the kinds of testing regimes that are in place now, the level of safety, the level of caution, that's all similar to what was recommended to us by the inquiry. So we're doing all of that work and we'll figure out what the cause of this issue was and ensure that the contractors resolve it and get back to delivering light rail service to our customers.
In speaking about this, you know, throughout the week, filling in for Sam here, a lot of people, you know, have been making the suggestion that we've had on saying, hey, you know what, why don't we just scrap this whole thing? Like, why don't we tell this company, the manufacturer, you know what, take your trains back and give us some new trains. There's obviously consequences to doing something like that, because I gave the example earlier this week that, you know, if somebody comes to renovate my home and they do a poor job and things aren't as they were meant to be, they come back and they have to fix it for free because we have a binding contract. I'm guessing there's probably clauses in that contract that we won't be privy to that won't allow us to say, you know what, if it's the track's problem, well, then you tear up the track, you put in new ones. If it's the train problem, you send the trains back and you give us new ones. Are there consequences to something like that?
Yeah, so it's complicated, obviously, but at a basic level, Derek, look, someday soon we're going to have the service we deserve and the service we paid for. The path to that is what's being evaluated and discussed right now, which is, you know, what kinds of engineering solutions can we bring to this? Are there fixes? You know, if there's something wrong with the wheels on your car, you may not need a new engine, right? You might just need new wheels. I don't know that we're at the point of giving back the trains and saying replace them with new trains, but we are at the point of saying we need solutions for these recurring problems, and those solutions have got to come soon. And so, you know, we're going to continue to work with our contractors to fix these problems. That's what it's all about. And by the way, you know, in the last week, I've spoken with mayors from all over North America who have had major transit infrastructure projects that took longer than expected to implement, that had problems, it growing pains, that had issues. And so we're not alone in this. There's a train line in Toronto that's going through similar challenges. That's no comfort to Ottawa residents who want to be able to take the train today and can't. But I think it's important to note that these kinds of things happen with infrastructure projects, and there are people who are experts who can fix these things, and we have to rely on them to fix it. And if they can't fix it, then we go to the next level of saying, well, what's the solution if it can't be fixed?
Right. As you know, Premier Doug Ford was in town making a big announcement, which, you know, was exciting news. But he was asked about the LRT and his thoughts on it, because, of course, the province gives us a lot of money. You know, he blamed it on the previous council and previous mayor Watson, and called it a mess. I know you have a good working relationship with him, and actually, you know, I think a lot of people are surprised the working relationships that he has with, you know, Justin Trudeau, and I don't think a lot of people thought that would necessarily be a good working relationship, but it is. So you have a good working relationship. Is there any concern that the province, just seeing what a mess this has become, that they would be reluctant in helping us fund further projects when it comes to our public transit system?
Well, look, Derek, I'm not prepared to put any more taxpayers' money into another phase of light rail until all of these problems are resolved, right? So I'm in the same position as Doug Ford. I'm not going to support putting Ottawa taxpayers' money into phase three until we know phase one and phase two are working properly and we're getting the system we paid for. So Doug Ford and I are in complete agreement on this, and I speak to him regularly. He's very supportive. He's very understanding, but and I totally get his point of view. His government invested a lot of money in this system. So did the city of Ottawa. And until we get value for that money, we can't talk about another phase.
Another